All right, welcome guys to our last Q&A episode of January. Of course, we're capping off with a jiu-jitsu question, Jason's favorite. I just like to let everyone know that Jason picks the questions that we answer, obviously. But before we get to answering today's, if you want your question answered on the podcast, just mention jiu-jitsu in the question and Jason will probably pick it. No, yeah. Just make sure you subscribe to the Never Zero newsletter. The link is in the show notes. You're going to get a couple emails when you sign it. Then you get an email every Wednesday. There's nothing but value in those. I promise we're not sending junk into your inbox. And then if you reply to any of those emails with a question for the podcast, Jason picks out a few every month and we answer it on here. So without further ado, Jay, what movements have you found most beneficial for excelling in jiu-jitsu?
I'm so glad you asked.
Jiu-jitsu.
I'm so glad you asked. So it's no secret. I'm a huge fan of jiu-jitsu. I've been doing it for 8 years. Just actually recently got my brown belt. And I think earlier on, and Gabe, you know, we've talked about this. I was convinced that I wanted to help jiu-jitsu athletes get better on the mats by doing like stuff that I would ask them, like, hey, does this feel like, when I would work with athletes, I'd say, hey, does this mimic a certain movement for you? And I kept chasing. Like, I kept asking, like, hey, is the kettlebell swing, like, does that feel this way? Hey, when you do a power clean, like, does that represent when you use your hip in a sit-up sweep or whatever? And what I came to the conclusion of is that after all of it, there's very few movements that are directly going to correlate from off the mats to on the mats. Sure, maybe a Turkish getup, maybe some like a glute bridge up because of a position. There's a few you can name, right? But at the end of the day, what I've came to the conclusion of is the movements that are most beneficial for jiu-jitsu in CrossFit, in training, is all of them. Because what ends up happening in jiu-jitsu is you're not externally loading your positions aside from another person on top of you. You're not strength training when you're just on the mats, and you're not working ranges of motions that are constant. Like, there's many ranges of motion in jiu-jitsu, but there's certain ones you're missing out on. And that's where I think off the mats come into play. Things like thrusters, things like squats, things like deadlifts and benches and pressing, and all the things that make CrossFit and strength conditioning special is what you should be doing that are going to translate so well to on the mat. But if you try and say, oh, I'm doing this specifically for on the mat, I have not found a perfect correlation yet. I think you should just have a super good strength conditioning program like what we have on our Train Hard app, and it will work perfectly well with what you're doing on the mats. But if you try too hard to get fancy, and I'm raising my hand saying I've tried to get too fancy, it doesn't work both ways. You should just do what's best on strength conditioning, focus on that, have the best program in the world, like what we have, and then go on the mats and spend time doing that.
I don't practice jiu-jitsu, but I can give my kind of like as an outsider looking in answer. And I have two things that I would bring up, and I'm curious if you disagree. One, I think that one of the, not the biggest, maybe the biggest, arguably the biggest benefit that you'll get from strength and conditioning or any training, if you're trying to excel in jiu-jitsu, is making sure that you stay healthy so you can stay on the mat.
Yes.
And if that's the case, then I think that doing strength training under load with tempos, moving well, and making sure that you're also conditioned, because I would assume that the better your conditioning is, the better you're never going to find yourself in a position on the mat where you're just like completely, or maybe you do get in the red, but you're have a little bit more control or your wherewithal to make smarter decisions. Because I know that you've said this before, you know, tap often and tap early is how you end up not getting banged up in jiu-jitsu. I think that if you're able to not, you know, go into a completely different stratosphere because you're so out of shape, you're probably more likely to make smart decisions. So my advice as a non-jiu-jitsu practitioner would be the biggest benefit. I mean, it's the same answer Jason gave. It's everything. But I think it's just, I would hammer home the importance of this stuff is more so that you don't get banged up and you can stay doing this thing that you love so much more often for years to come, because you're not just beating yourself up on the mat. You're also doing the requisite work outside the mat to not just make sure that you're stronger and more conditioned so you can excel, but also just so that your body is strong, robust enough so that you're able to do it for longer, which I'm assuming people want to do that love this thing.
I was with a black belt yesterday. We were having great rolls. I like this guy a lot. And he does no strength conditioning, none, zero. And you could see it, like, you know, his body's relatively built up top, right? Because he does a lot of pressing and he's like a, you know, he's a guy, he's pre-developed up top. But where you could always see it is in the legs, you know, like there's just not much muscle definition built in legs because in general, it's just a lot of jujitsu and jujitsu is phenomenal, but it isn't necessarily great for building up strength specifically in your legs. I can't think of how you're going to incorporate that on the mats. And so we were talking about it when we were talking specifically about knee health. And I just told him, bro, even if you just take a light dumbbell and you just do tempo, slow squats, getting nice and deep, at least you're working the knees range of motion under some type of load, even if it's just tempo load. And I think it's going to be incredibly beneficial for your longevity in the sport of jiu-jitsu because your knees are going to be strengthened up more. And he really took that to heart. And I hope he starts incorporating it more. And that's my advice here. It's like, what movements are great for jiu-jitsu? It's all the ones that you're doing to increase your strength conditioning to help you on the mats. And it's not these fancy sit outs or Turkish get ups or all the other things that I thought it was for a while that I would incorporate in workouts. Dude, just there's a time and a place. Just do this over here and do this over here. And I promise it'll end up being wonderful for you.
There's, I was going to Google it, but I didn't have time. There's a great quote too, that, it's actually a Greg Glassman quote, that the deficiencies in your training or whatever's like missing in your training routine. Do you remember the quote? It's in the journal. He says it in a much better way, but essentially it's the idea that like whatever isn't in your current training is going to define what your deficiencies are going to be. Seems obvious, but I think it's really important in this respect, because one of the things that I remember, and I forget if this was on a podcast or whatever, but Gordon Ryan saying that he like literally can't, you know, like touch his shoulders or something, like he literally can't, like something that like anyone should be able to do. And I remember it was insane to hear because he's the best in the world, the GOAT, right? And I think that it is important for some people to realize that injuries and just kind of like longevity in life, you need like a balanced approach to your training. Like if you've gotten to the point, and obviously like, you know, there's levels to this, right? Like for a Gordon Ryan, it makes sense for him to be that much of a specialist because he's the best in the world. Like he's sacrificing that to be like the absolute GOAT in the sport. But for your average person, I would argue that if you're getting to the point where you can't even touch your shoulders because you're so internally rotated, because you're always doing everything, you know, like in this kind of wrestler's position, I think you should do some training that counteracts that. You know, I think that that would be a smart thing for you to do. So I'll just kind of leave it at that, because I think that a lot of injury prevention and also just like we're all trying to live active lives for years and years to come. And I think that if anything you're doing is taking years off of that, I would seriously consider making some changes. And in this case, I think it's adding specific strength and conditioning movements, not so much with how is this going to help me on the mat, but how is this going to help me off the mat so I can continue being on the mat, if that makes sense.
Yeah, dude, I think the overhead position in jiu-jitsu is a big problem. Just even hanging from the bar. If you can't hang from the bar,
you said Mason couldn't hang from the bar, right?
Earlier on, yeah.
Like really struggled early on, but he's been working with you. But this is the example, right? Like you have him doing things that are counteracting the movement patterns that he does every single time he's on the mat.
That's right. And I think that, again, my eyes have been open to this. And my recommendation for anybody listening is like the program that I like that we have, our force program, is just solid strength conditioning. It's a great way to train and then incorporate jiu-jitsu 2 to 3 days a week. And I think that you're going to be crushing it. That's where I'm at. Now, if you're going to like really want to be a jiu-jitsu practitioner, maybe do jiu-jitsu 4 or 5 days a week and add in force 2 or 3, that's great too, but I'm the opposite. So that's the way I train, at least for the time being. And then, get the movements in off the mats. They're going to help you on the mats. And that goes any sport. Like if you're an endurance athlete, if you're a surfer, if you're a surfer and you're used to paddling in this specific position, all of a sudden you get off the ocean and you're trying to do like ski erg only, I just don't think it's necessary. You're getting so much of that range of motion. Go do something different to counterbalance what you're used to on there. That's the recommendation when you're thinking about sport versus the role that strength conditioning plays within that sport. It's to create this more holistic approach and not just like specific to that thing right there.
That's it. That's it, man. Mic drop. Till next time.